freedom's a difficult thing, and we have found that through the years it is interpreted to mean a great many things. Some of them are helpful and positive and good, and some of them not so much. I wrote down a few things. You hear in this country, it's a free country, meaning I can do what I want. Americans love to say that. In our free market economy, we enjoy free trade and free enterprise. People want a free hand, a free rein, and a free lunch. And then there are the four famous freedoms of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He said freedom of speech, freedom of worship, freedom from want, and freedom from fear. The trouble comes whenever and wherever there is freedom without responsibility. Unfortunately, this is precisely what most people mean. An old Greek proverb says, "The free man is the one who lives as he chooses." But the Apostle Paul understood that freedom without responsibility is license. But he also understood that responsibility without freedom is legalism. And neither one of them fulfills the purpose of God. Both result in a form of slavery, either to sin or to rigid rules and regulations. Neither is representative of true freedom that is known and found only in Christ Jesus. Only true freedom is worth celebrating. And only true freedom gives meaning and purpose to life. I want us today, as we think in these terms, as we remember and reflect on the blessings that we have enjoyed in this nation, as we recognize that as free men and women, we also have great responsibility, I want us to consider what it means to celebrate freedom. Just for a brief moment, think about it in those terms and think of it in relationship to this passage of Scripture. Galatians 5:13 says, "You were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." What does it mean to celebrate freedom? It means, first of all, that we have all received a call to liberty. A call to liberty. We talked about it this morning and we heard from people of the past how they have shared with us that desire. As this nation began and as the people who came to this land formed what would become not only colonies but eventually a country, they realized that the yoke that was placed upon them of taxation and government without representation was unbearable. And though they cried out for a fairer form of governance, and they sought to work within the system, eventually a revolution resulted. We look back at that with great pride as we remember our history and the strength and the sacrifice and the courage that was formed in order to establish that. We look to some of those founding fathers and things that they have said, and we reflect and remember that they were also men and women of faith. And while all of those things certainly are true, there also is some confusion along the way. And that confusion comes when we look to those things as a right and a privilege rather than a responsibility. Freedom is something that is not what we look for and then seize by power or might. But true freedom, this passage tells us, is the result of the calling of God. The reality is that there is within all of us a desire for something other than what we can provide for ourselves. And along the way, God, as He calls us to Himself, does so by stirring that desire within. A reminder that no matter how much liberty we enjoy, and no matter how much freedom to choose as our will's desire, that true freedom comes not from those things, but it comes from an obedient call, an obedience to the call of God on our lives. He calls us away from sin and into His grace. And He calls us away from the service of self or others that we may serve Him. The reality is that freedom, by the Greek Proverbs definition, doesn't exist. The reality is that freedom without responsibility is just another form of slavery. And that responsibility without freedom, that is, without a willful obedience, is just legalism, and it will eventually kill just as surely. And so He speaks to us of the calling of God to freedom. I believe that while this country certainly was guided in so many ways by the hand of God, and even today continues to be, I also believe that the key to that reality is only to the degree that those of us who are a part of this nation willingly surrender whatever desire or want that we would have in favor of an obedience to the call of God. A much higher calling of freedom. Here's the key to it. When you realize that freedom is something you've been called to, it overcomes our pride. When you realize that freedom is something that we are called into in a way that we could never pursue on our own devices, then we recognize that it is fully and completely dependent on God, the one who calls us. And so He says, as Paul reminded them, we are called to freedom. But then He warns us, not only do we have a call to liberty, but there is a great temptation to license. This may be one of the strongest things that we face in this country today. And while it is true that we may have won many battles along the way, if we yield to the temptation to license and self-service, we will ultimately lose the war. And so He calls us to Himself, that we may discover in that relationship that we have with Him true and genuine biblical freedom that sets us free from sin and sets us free from the obligation to the rules of man, that we may serve God and as a result, not self. Temptation to license is something that is rampant in our country and something that touches all of us in one way or another. License is nothing more than a desire to feed the flesh, to do whatever makes you feel good at the moment that you think that it will make you feel good, to do it without any consequences or without any sense of guilt. And so what we do when we cannot live in license without those things is we try to reorganize society and culture so that it will be more structured in a way that supports our temptations. So what we do is we do away with sin. In the process, we try to make things okay. Just because it's right for you doesn't necessarily mean it's right for me. You do what you want and I'll do what I think is best. And therein lies the problem. We're looking for nothing more than a means to feed the flesh. And along the way, that becomes the most compelling motivation of life. When that happens, we are no longer free. And so many in this nation that are enslaved by sin are not living lives that are free, but they are living lives of deep, abiding bondage. What is the free person like? Well, he'd be a lot like the Apostle Paul, driven by something eternal, guided by the Spirit of God Himself, liberated to serve in a way that is without boundaries, going against the tides of whatever culture may be dominant at the time, and setting a standard by sacrifice of something that is enduring and can never be taken away. Temptation to license is nothing more than feeding the desires of limited flesh in a moment in the hopes that it will provide some sense of satisfaction or control. knowing that ultimately it will fail and ultimately we will not be free. We know that it's true. Look at our land today. People are addicted to things like drugs and alcohol and substances of all varieties. People are addicted to pornography and other sins of the flesh. Materialism and greed is at a rampant pace, so that politically, if you were to survey the people of this nation, they would agree yet again that the most compelling issue for us as a country today is the economy. It is the economy that determines almost every aspect of who we are and what we do. And we have become a consumer-driven culture. It is a dangerous place to be, and it is a place where we are because we are limited by the slavery of license. Temptation to license. We believe that freedom is our right when in fact it isn't at all. It is rather our calling, but not the kind of freedom that we would use to satisfy the flesh. The kind of freedom that we live to the glory of God. You have the freedom to choose to surrender your life for the cause of Christ and for the glory of God in the face of even friendly cultural influences. We must be careful, and we must be aware that while we celebrate the past, as we remember the sacrifice of those who have defended freedom and the privilege that it affords, we must be careful that we do not abuse or misuse that freedom to serve nothing more than the flesh. And it is a constant danger that plagues us all, and one that threatens this nation from within. It has toppled governments, and it has toppled cultures before us that were far older than us and far stronger than us, at least in comparison to those around them. And we must be aware that even as we celebrate all of the victory of the past, our greatest challenges may still lie ahead. And they may not be on the battlefields. They may be in the very heart and soul of each individual. It makes it even more important that those who are called as Christians stand as light in a world that is constantly bombarded with darkness. Paul said that we are called to liberty. There is indeed a temptation to license, but he said we overcome through the service of love. You were called to freedom, brothers. Do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Service, not as an obligation or a requirement, but as a willful submission of life. Service that is surrendered and submitted is one that is given, not taken. As a result, it becomes an expression and an extension of true freedom. Service to God and service to others. Something that is familiar to us and that we remember on this day of celebration, this weekend of remembrance. Patriotism rises in all of us when we hear the songs of the patriot. Patriotism rises in all of us when we see the flag that waves, or we remember the images of reality past. Whether it be Ground Zero, or whether it is Iwo Jima, or whether it is the crossing of the Potomac. All of these images remind us of the conquest of the past in the face of great opposition. And within all of us rises a nationalism that almost overwhelms and brings us to the point of tears. It speaks of service. You see, in those moments of peril and trial, we set aside our own desires. And we set aside our own wants in favor of others. And there is in those moments an awareness that there's something greater than ourselves. This is not new information, folks. Jesus said a long time ago that the greatest commandment is this: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And the second, he said, is like unto it: love your neighbor as yourself. Service to others in love. That's what God has called us to. What if we take our freedom and rather than using it to serve ourselves, we use it to serve God by serving others? What if we take that freedom and rather than using it to carry on or to promote our own agendas, we use it for the glory of the living God, and we do so through the service of others? What if the freedom that we have been given, we do not expend all of it on ourselves, on our own desires, our own families, our own wealth, but we take that stuff and we willingly redirect that it may be used for a greater, more eternal glory? I believe that when that happens, then we are realizing what true freedom is. I believe that the person who is most free is not the one who is unlimited because of the influence of others or the control of the world around them or even the control of something within them. I believe that the person who is most free is the one who looks forward without fear or limitation and who looks around and realizes there is genuine purpose and value in life, and looks back and sees with clarity the leadership of Almighty God and the hand of truth that has guided. To me, that is the greatest freedom of all. Praise God that He has given us a nation in which we can declare these truths. Thank God that He has blessed us with an opportunity to express true freedom through service to others. And may it be to the glory of God that believers in this nation would continue to walk according to the calling that they have been established, the calling by which we have been made truly, genuinely, and eternally free. As long as that calling abides, there will continue to be Americans that will seek to bring the influence of true light to bear on both government and culture. That is who we are. And that is what we're here for. And that is what makes this nation what it is. It's not like it used to be. It's not like we thought it would remain. But the good news is that the one who brings truth and the one who gives genuine liberty remains unchanged. And so our calling continues still today. Our greatest battles may still be ahead. They may not be on the field of conflict. They may be in the heart where surrender struggles with license. May we be faithful, and may this weekend that we celebrate freedom remind us that true freedom, that which sets us free indeed, comes through Jesus Christ and Him alone.